Greetings and welcome to the Family Worship Center Media Ministry, coming to you from the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick.
Today, our pastor, Pastor Eric Orme, will be preaching part two of his sermon on contagious love and the power of forgiveness. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message from this ministry, please contact the church office at area code 506-755-3759. Now, here's Pastor Eric Orme with today's message.
Let not your hands be weak. Sometimes your hands are a bit weak, right? Sometimes they feel like lead and we don't want to lift them up. But scripture says Zion, and when the Bible talks about Zion, you know, he's talking, there's a twofold meaning. It means Israel and also the church. So he says, Zion, let not your hands be weak. Lift them up in praise, because the Lord your God, he dances over you. It says, the Lord your God in your midst is mighty. He's mighty. He's a mighty one to do what? To save. Don't let your hands hang down and be weak, but praise him, because the Lord in your midst is a mighty one, and he's mighty to save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Have you heard God singing lately? What would it be like to hear God sing? Wouldn't that be cool? It says, he will rejoice over you with singing. Thank you, Lord. So the Lord, you know, we sing a little song. We've done it here once or twice, but he dances and he sings over me. He dances and he sings over you. It's a celebration of the King when we praise him in everything. This is where it's taken from. Holy Ghost wrote that song with a lady from another church. Allow God to love you today. Yes. Allow him to dance over you today. Yes. Allow him to love you through his body. Wouldn't that be cool? See, sometimes we resist love, don't we? We resist it when people try to show us affection and love sometimes. But as the body of Christ, well, that's the most tangible way that God has got of loving you, is through somebody else. The most tangible way God can love someone is through you, and for you to receive love is when a member of the body of Christ speaks life to you, says something positive to you, tells you the truth about you. How many know the devil is telling you lies about you all the time? He's telling other people lies about you. And he's telling you lies about you. But God sees you as a precious, priceless treasure, as a jewel today. And he dances over you. He twirls and dances and sings over you, his body. My Lord, that ought to make you excited. That ought to make you praise him. That ought to make you lift those heavy hands up, and that to not be weak. That they be powerful in demonstration and acts of worship and praise. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. That's what ought to be coming out of those weak hands, Zion. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the God of the creation dances and sings over you. Hallelujah. Can we just tell somebody? See, if you tell somebody that you can see, it's the closest thing to telling God himself. When you're telling his body. Like, wouldn't it be cool if you said to somebody, you're amazing. You are an amazing person. I think you're awesome. I think you're wonderful. And I no longer regard you after the flesh. I'm going to see you after the spirit. I think you are amazing. And you guys, you're just amazing over there. I love it. This team and our teams worship and praise the Lord. Aren't they amazing? I mean, they're just wonderful. You're just wonderful. Do you know what? I'll tell you what. That if you start saying to people good things like that, do you know what? The atmosphere in the room changes. I'm telling you right now, the atmosphere will change in the room. Because that stronghold, that lying spirit that's trying to steal the praises from the Lord, he comes along and he tries to keep those hands weak. But when we speak the truth, the way God sees you, your hands become light and they float up and you just want to praise. Hallelujah. You feel good about yourself. You're all good looking. What can I tell you good about you? I mean, you know what? You guys could have been somewhere else tonight, and here you are here. That's awesome. That makes you something else in my mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, what's happening here is what's going to cause the army of the Lord to rise up is a people. Do you know what an army's got to do? Sometimes they got to go out and face unbelievable odds. They got to face an enemy. Sometimes they're outnumbered. Ask Garth, he knows. And you don't know what you're facing out there. I guess you're given a briefing. And over that next hill, I mean, there might be the sound of a million member army. You don't know what's going up, but you got to have the tenacity and the intestinal fortitude to go and face that and be willing to die because you're fighting for something. You've got a conviction and you've been disciplined. You've been trained and you're going to go over that hill and you're going to defeat that enemy. And even if it costs you your life, you're going to do it. Well, the army of God that's rising up has got the tenacity when it feels like chewing up rocks and spitting out steel. When the enemy is trying to keep the place all silent and all intimidated and quiet, you've got to have the tenacity in Jesus' name to rise up and rise above that thing and defeat the enemy by speaking the truth. I'm highly favored of the Lord. Yes. And the Lord loves me and he loves you. Hallelujah. And you're something else. You really are. You're something else. Now you feel better, don't you? See, that means we're winning the battle. We're breaking through this thing in Jesus' name. See, we've got the authority and we got to put the throttle all the way down. We got to go for it. We got to go for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just want to clear up with just a couple of thoughts from the morning. I just want you guys to get ready to come on again. I'm not going to make it. Honestly, I won't make it that long tonight. In Jesus' name, I won't. I mean, you know, push me down, Ray, if I can get too long. But I don't know if we really got a couple little points here. It's important that we get this. Why is it important? Because we need to know some things. I mean, without certain knowledge of certain areas, that the Bible says people cast off restraint. What is that thing that pushes us on when the burden of the day comes on, when the enemy is attacking us? What is it that causes us the strength to rise up and push through and fulfill the call of God on our lives and to fulfill the great commission that he's given each and every one of us? What is it? It's having a knowledge of what the Word says. And without the knowledge, we cast off restraint. One translation says that we perish. We'll never fulfill what God called us to do. We die along the way. Or we'll cast off that restraint, that knowledge that walks us into a place of fulfillment. So we need to know some truths that liberate us and that equip us. And there's something about hearing the voice of the Lord. There's nothing like hearing the Lord. There's nothing more effective for causing the people to rally behind the vision than hearing it from Holy Spirit. There's nothing more powerful that would cause people like the Frenches to leave this beautiful Charlotte County and go to a very highly, the humidity is very high, very hot, where they're putting themselves at arm's way. There's nothing else would do that but hearing the voice of Holy Spirit. What equips us to do what seems to be impossible and is unattractive to the flesh is hearing it from the Lord. And we got to know that that's how the church is being built. It's not being built on some fancy ideology or some fancy slick-talking salesman. It's being built on a foundation which is having a relationship through communion with Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hearing from the Lord. Amen. How many know we can hear from the Lord every day? How many know we can hear from him? And he walks with me, and he talks. I mean, he talks with me. And he's always talking to me. And I believe a scripture that we mentioned this morning is one of the keys, and it mentions keys, that we need to embrace in our quest to go forward and see God do a work in Charlotte County. Yes. And this is this. Jesus said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. What rock? You just heard from the Father. And it's on this rock I'm going to build my church. See, I want us to get that. We need to hear from him. And Jesus heard from him. Jesus said he didn't do anything, but he heard the Father, or he saw the Father do it. Jesus himself, while he was in the flesh on the earth. He was a pretty big guy. I mean, he was like, you know, he was kind of up there, wasn't he? It was Jesus. I mean, it was Jesus, the Son of God. And he said, I do nothing unless I hear the Father say it. Or I see what the Father does. That's what I'm going to do. And you know what? That's how important it is for us to hear the Lord. That's how important it is. And when we hear the Lord and hear the voice of the Lord, then is when we have the conviction and the power and the unction to do things where otherwise we never would have done it. So why do we come and praise and worship him? We find pleasure in that, yes. It lifts us in a place of glory and splendor. But we can't be there without hearing from him. We can't get there without he speaks to us. He tells us things. He shows us things about our own selves. He shows us things about our hearts that we need to repent of, that need to be cleansed and taken out of the way to be not to be a hindrance to stop us from going further. And all of these things happens in the presence of the Lord, and he commissions us. He instructs us. He's our teacher. And so it's in that place that we hear from the Lord, and that's why we fulfill the commission. I couldn't talk you into doing the things that people do for the Lord. I couldn't talk you into doing it. And I believe I'm crazy enough to think that tonight you are here. We come together and others come together because I believe by the Spirit of God you are being drawn. I believe God is convicting us and putting a mandate on our lives and fulfilling the vision that he originally intended for this house. He's given other people lots of other visions, but when we come together as a corporate entity before the Lord, he gives us a mandate. He gives us a vision, and the vision of the Lord is that we see people healed, dreams fulfilled, mending broken hearts, and to see the kingdom of God increase. And to see people who know not the Lord come to know him. To see backsliders return unto God. That's the vision of this house. That others will come to know him and the power of his resurrection. But we're only going to get there if we understand that we need to hear from him every day. And if we read a book, that's wonderful. But we need to read it with a heart that says, God, speak to my heart today. Well, what are you saying, Lord? What would you have me do? You know, it's interesting, and I've heard some of you say, and Tim had a great testimony last week, that it's amazing when we ask the Lord how many times you'll answer right then. It's amazing. And sometimes it's the last thing we do. But the church is being built upon this kind of thing, about being able to hear from the Lord. And Jesus said, Peter, you just heard the Father say that. Flesh and blood didn't tell you who I am. I've walked with you 3 years, and I've told you who I am, and now I just asked the question, and everybody scratched their head and said, well, somebody says you're Elijah. Well, somebody says, but who do you say I am? And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit spoke. And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, Jesus said, and I'm going to build my church on that. That's how I'm building my church. The fact that you can hear me. Now we're entering into a dimension where you have authority and power and dominion. See this, listen to this. The church, this is a note I made on that point. The church will be built or made based on our ability to say what the Father says in heaven. And what he says is what? It's his will. what he says, it's his will. You know, there's been a little bit of negativity over the years about the will of God. And some word of faith people might say it, and innocently enough saying, well, you know, you just got to pray. Some of you, well, if it be thy will, and it's looked at as negative, a negative thing, if it be your will. But the truth is, his will is wonderful. I got no problem saying, Lord, if it is your will, because his will is the best. His will is best. It's wonderful. And that's how my prayers get answered every time, when I pray in alignment with the voice of the Lord. You see that? With God's will is to build his church. And when I hear his voice, and I'm in obedience to what he says, and in agreement to what he says, the job gets done. John, 1 John 5:14 says, now behold, this is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything, it's the confidence we have. What? That if we ask anything according to his will, it shall be done. How can I pray according to his will? By hearing his voice. How do I hear his voice? By spending time in prayer. By spending time in prayer. Jesus spent time with the Father. And then Luke, we talked about this morning, Luke came along and says, all authority has been given unto me, and I will give it to whomever I will. He said that to Jesus. Jesus came back in Matthew 28:18 and says, all authority has been given to me now. It's been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he said, go. You go. All authority has been given unto me. You go and make disciples. Jesus took the authority back from Satan and said, go make disciples. Amen. Do you know what? Remember when we read earlier this morning that God took Eve out of Adam? God reached into the side of Adam and took out a bride for him. And it says, interestingly enough, it says that God made Eve. He made the bride of Adam. He built her. He made her. And then Jesus comes along with the authority that he's giving the church, and he says, now I'm giving you authority, go and make my bride. Isn't that interesting? He says, now I've made a bride for Adam, and you've sinned, and you gave away your authority, I'm giving it back to you now. Now I'm giving you another chance at it. Now you go and make my bride. Go and make disciples, make my bride. The second Adam, Jesus, says, go. I've given you the authority to make my bride. It may take some making things right. It may be painful. There may be some death involved, and death to self may be involved. We talked about how he said, if your brother sins against you, that's all about making his bride. Make it right. Go and make things right, because you save a soul from hell, says another verse there. It's about making his bride, making disciples. And 1 Corinthians 1:10, let me read that to you. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Wow. Wouldn't it be awesome? I got a sneaky feeling where we're headed that way. You think so? Having the one mind, having the same voice, one vision, no dissension, embracing the house vision, going forward in Jesus' name. I'll tell you what, I've not seen, unless you're pretty good at hiding it, I've not seen it. I've never seen a church like this church. Whoa. Whoa, whoa. I've never seen it. There's cooperation. There's agreement. It's amazing. Don't disappoint me tomorrow. But I'm telling you, so far you're wonderful. You're awesome people. You're amazing. You know that? And the thing is that's what excites me about this house and the future of this house. The Lord has got his hand on this place, and you people, somehow you found the strength to button it up You've found the strength not to be in opposition or divisive, and you're just embracing the house vision and what the Lord has been giving us to do down on Main Street there. That's a stretch for many congregations, just in case you didn't know. And I don't want you to know that. But just for reference, it's the kind of thing that could easily bring it. But you're embracing it. And it's wonderful because it's the heart of God. And I believe we're hearing the voice of the Lord. And that's what's going to build His church. That's what's building His church, by hearing the voice of the Lord and embracing the vision of the Lord and going forward united as an army. Well, we face opposition. Yeah, that will happen. But that doesn't matter. If we are in agreement, if we are in agreement, there's nothing that can stand against. We just sang about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now, here's an interesting verse right here. Kind of scary. Scary verse. And it's John 20. John 20. We're talking about the authority and the power we have as believers. John 20 and 22. And when Jesus had said this, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then this verse, when I read this verse the first time, it blew me away. We were on our motorhome on a Super Walmart parking lot. And free parking there, by the way. And so, anyway, the Lord just made this verse real to me. And I ran. I didn't have a cell phone. I ran into the foyer or the entranceway of Walmart. Melody, Linda was in shopping, and I phoned Melody. Melody, guess what? I mean, and all the verses with it was just amazing. But it says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Isn't that something? Like, we could spend a long time on that, and it's for a study for another time, but it's enough to get your attention and for you to start reading and do some research on and pray about. The authority that God has given us as believers, it's amazing and wonderful and scary. Scary because the responsibility that goes with it. And how we emphasize this morning is not something we take lightly. It's written in red by Jesus Himself, and He didn't put things in the Bible just to fill up space and make a good chapter. It was for a purpose. It was for our living. It was for us to live by. And as we go back to Matthew 18, just to clue up, you see, we talk a lot about binding and loosing, and we have the power to bind things, and we can bind the enemy, yes, and we can loose the power of God because He's given us that authority. We talked about today how He gave us dominion and authority. He took Himself out of the equation. And that's why God wants His will done. But the only way He will do His will, if He does it through you and I, through agreement. He needs a vessel that's fit to speak through, and to flow through, and to minister through. And He's raising us up. Not only for pastors, it's for everyone. Everyone is a minister in this house. And so He wants to speak through us, and He wants us to to present ourselves a living sacrifice so that we come into alignment with His will through covenant agreement, by having things right in our lives, through making sure that there's no ought between one another that will stop it. But He says, convince that one, make it right, make disciples, make My bride. And so even though the first knee-jerk reaction to binding and loosing is, I loose that authority God has given me as a minister, and you can in your marketplace, you can by the power of God, I loose the Spirit of God in this place in Jesus' name. I loose conviction in Jesus' name, and I bind the power of the enemy. But the practical, down-to-earth interpretation, if you look closely, much of it is to do with forgiving and forgiveness and unforgiveness also. And it becomes very clear in this Matthew 18 that we didn't finish off this morning. I'm going to do just quickly here now and say that Peter, you know, Jesus said, he was saying that, you know, get a brother who's got out against you, make it right. And then he reminds us that if you bind anything, heaven is going to honor it. And then he says that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything, that they say it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And he just finished in saying that thou art Peter, and I'm on this rock, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom, that anything you bind, it will be bound. And then he says it again in chapter 18. If you bind, it shall be bound, and if you agree, that is good. But then, right in verse 21, Peter brings it right back into focus again. Verse 21, Peter says to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? See, Peter understood that the binding and the loosing there was about forgiveness. We could stop the verse before. That's where the red ends and the black starts again, right? It ends there by saying, well, you know, if you bind, it shall be bound. If you loose, it shall be loose. Get it right with your brother. If you agree, it shall be done for them and my Father in heaven. And all. And so then, binding and loosing, wow, that sounds good. But Peter went, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? He brings it right back into focus. He didn't misunderstand it at all. He knew that binding and loosing referred there to also refers to forgiving or not forgiving. And that is a very pivotal part that we ought to and we need to get right. We got to be sure going forward. We can put our head in the sand and we can forget all about things that happened 2 years ago and someone in the next community. We can forget, we can do that. We can play the ostrich trick, is it? Bury our heads in the sand and pretend we can't see it, you know? But the truth is, it's still there. And for going forward, somebody's got to address that. And I'm sorry, it's me. In this case, I'm sorry, it's me. But the truth is, I want us free. Yeah. I want this church so free. And the devil not having any opportunity to come against us, having no access, no highway, no entrance point into this place that would take us off course from where the Lord is taking us as a church. And so I'm asking us to search our hearts in Jesus' name. And no matter how wrong and how repetitively wrong that other individual or corporation was, that did injustice to you, and I'm searching my heart too. We want to be freed from that. We want to be loose from any of those entanglements, any assignment of hell, any binding, any imprisonment that we may be held bound to because of something that seems so innocent. It seems so innocent. And it seems innocent because we were right and they were wrong. That still doesn't free me to not forgive. It doesn't free me to not forgive. No matter how wrong they were and how right I am, I'm bound. There's a degree of I'm bound, and you've bound that other person. And you know, you may have imprisoned them to the point where they'll never, ever be able to see the truth and light of the gospel because they're in the dungeons of a prison that you've imprisoned them through unforgiveness. That's strong stuff. That's another one of those things that can cause you to lose a vote. That kind of preaching can get you voted out, Ray. But it's the Word of God. Peter says, how many times, Lord, shall I... 70 times 7, Jesus said, I do not say up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. And so then Jesus goes on to tell this story. He says, look, he says, I want to tell you what the kingdom of God is like. See, this story about the kingdom of God is all about forgiveness and unforgiveness, binding and loosing, authority that you have to do it. And God will honor your decision. If you forgive the sins of many, He said, remember now, you're filled with the Spirit now. You've been given authority. I took it back from the devil. You've got it. And now with that authority, there comes accountability. And remember now, he says. And he says, look, Peter, you're just not getting it, are you? Well, let me tell you a little story. This might help you. How many know anecdotals are the best method of presenting a truth? And Jesus was a master at it. And he says, look, the kingdom of heaven is like, he said, Peter, is like this. It's like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him $10,000. Can I say dollars instead of talents? But it was, as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his family, his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before his master, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him. Forgave him. See, binding and loosing. Forgave him, loosed him from the debt. He was wrong. He owed a debt he couldn't pay. But Christ paid a debt that he didn't owe. For you, for me. He didn't owe it, but he paid it. You owed it and you couldn't pay it, but it got paid. But that servant went out. So now we, the body of Christ, can be so sanctimoniously indifferent and holier than thou because we're doing it all right. And they were wrong. And that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him $100. Big difference in $10,000. And he said, he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. And his servants fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. You see, even if you're looking at the story here that Jesus is telling, the very fact that the thing is unresolved, the very fact that it's outstanding and the one that's the debtor has not paid it and can't, there's a cry that this thing be resolved and is not being resolved. And so that's why Jesus says, if he's got aught against you, if your brother sinned against you, go to him. The thing is outstanding. There's a cry for resolve that's there in the spirit realm. And so, and he would not, the Bible says, and he would not, but went out and threw him into prison till he could pay it all. In other words, I don't have to forgive him because he was wrong. So if he's wrong, he's in prison, right? Because he still owes the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all he had done. How many know the enemy, the devil, will tell on you? The devil's going to tell on you. Oh, yeah. Guaranteed. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, okay, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. The Lord forgave us. You're a child of God today. He forgave you a great debt. He forgave all of us a great debt. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I have pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Then it goes, the last verse sums it up by says, so my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now that's written in red. That's the words of Jesus. I want us to be free tonight. How many want us to be free? How many wants to set other people free? Wow. See, that's a recipe for victory right there. I mean, you know, we can sing all we want. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. But unless we release that one that we've imprisoned through unforgiveness, we can say and sing it all we want. We're not. To be truly free is to truly forgive even those that are truly wrong. Wow, wow. Can we just pray a private, personal prayer? This is not the type of message that we bring very often, but I really felt that this is one that for a while now, this is one we need to address because we are an army that's getting ready. Sometimes an army got to face some great challenges to be equipped for a battle. And we're not going to go out and take the gates of hell. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
The gates of hell will not withstand the advancing church of the living God. That church says going forward. We're going forward in Jesus' name. But we're going forward as an army. And the army has got to be prepared. And there's a certain equipping that needs to go on as an army. Part of that equipping is that we make sure that we're praying in alignment with the will of the Lord is, what the will of God is. We'll know what His will is, and we will pray according to His will, and we will receive answers, and our declarations of authority and decrees will come to pass when we administer what the will of the Lord is. And we know that's a good thing. How many know the will of God is a good thing? We can trust the will of God. It's wonderful. His will is that we prosper and be in health, to be a church that's healthy. I'm some glad that we don't have many funerals here. I think that's a kiss of God on us. I think there's something good. I mean, I pray for, Lord, keep our church healthy and strong. In Jesus' name. That might sound foolish. But I tell you right now, if I was there in the community and I knew a pastor was praying that buddy's church, that's the one I'd join. I joined the church where the pastor was praying for nobody to die. Nobody to die. We got work to do. We can't afford to lose anybody. And I don't like funerals. But the army is being prepared, and we don't want anything that's going to slow us down or hold us up or hinder us and give the devil any access into our ranks. So we want to be set free from any imprisonment, anything that's going to hold us back. Listen, you can smell it, you can taste it, you can feel it in the community. God is about to break this place wide open.
Yes.
Wide open. When we start reaching out in the community, don't think it's only going to happen down there, because now we become legal in the kingdom. Part of our outreach is going to be to the poor and the unlovely and the hurting and the dying and those that nobody else wants. Lifelines to unwed mothers who gives them an alternative to abortion. A lifeline. They'll give an alternative to a young man who's about to commit suicide or a young woman. Here's life. Choose life. Don't commit suicide. That's the sound that's going to go out of the house. You think God is not going to kiss this house when He sees that happening? Oh, yeah. And the community and the kingdom of darkness will be shaken to the core. And there will be a domino effect of the moving and the brooding of Holy Spirit on Charlotte County. In Jesus' name. We got to get ready, folks. We got to get ready. And the Lord is getting us ready. One of the most powerful things is two or three. Two or three. I'm not settling for two or three people in church. That could be 2,000 or 3,000. How about that? If 2,000 or 3,000 come together in my name, I mean, I'm there in the midst. I'll take that, Lord. Yes, what about 2 or 3 million being affected in Canada? Because of a little church in St. George that caught on fire and got it right and chose to be in agreement. Wouldn't that be powerful? And releases the kingdom of God according to His will because we're in agreement. I'll take His will any day. I like His will. I can trust His will. And that is to see people brought into the kingdom. Sick bodies healed. Believers filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. Thank You, Lord. So we pray, Lord, Search my heart. Search my heart, God. There may be things I'm not even aware of. Search my heart. And as you show me, Holy Spirit, I promise to repent. I promise to repent as you show me. Bring to my remembrance unfinished business. I promise to make it right. I promise. Is it going to be painful? Yes, death is always painful. Separation. Death means there's something got separated. Even when your sin is separated from you, there's death to the flesh. But there's life in the spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a sober moment because we're getting ready. We're getting ready in Jesus' name. I'll ask each of us to pray personally. As Ray begins to lead us in worship, I want us to pray personally, honestly before the Lord. Listen, there's no accident that you're here tonight. This was not your idea. God aligned this. And He did it for a purpose. I'm asking us to personally pray, God, I want to be a part of this army that's equipped. I want to hear the voice of the Lord, and I promise to be obedient.
Lord, I want pass me by the crowds of people, and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found in one place.
Thank you, Pastor. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message, you can contact us by writing Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 1092, St. George, New Brunswick, E5C2G8, or call us at area code 506-755-3759. You can also visit us online at www.stgeorgefwc.ca. You can also find us on Facebook. On behalf of Pastor, staff, and congregation of the Family Worship Center, we would like to welcome you to join us as we all meet together at 10:30 a.m. right here at the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Until next week, God bless, and have a blessed week.